we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And top of the morning to you. Welcome to St. Patrick's Day. And I remember this day from my kids, not for all the things that you might remember, but they attended a daycare when they were little, my girls did. And on St. Patrick's Day, the daycare center would always serve them green eggs. They would do it green eggs and ham. To line up with St. Patrick's Day and the Dr. Seuss story. And so it's amazing how little bitty things like that end up sticking in your mind. But welcome to St. Patrick's Day, and we are glad that you have tuned into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we're going to spend the next 27 minutes or so talking about the Word of God. And we're going to see more messianic prophecy portions here in Psalm 22 as we get into that passage today. But do pray that you have an incredibly awesome day, and that you find that the help of the Lord is very near to you. And we're going to be talking to that a little bit more. Whenever I leave and start replaying the program in my head, you know, a lot of times I'll get something and it's like, oh man, I should have said that. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're not done talking about the fact that God is our help, that the Holy Spirit is there to help us, not just in spiritual conditions, but in situations that are very, very serious, in whatever aspect of life we may be facing them. So we're going to ask you to turn to Psalm 22 this morning, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12, and we'll probably read down to verse 18 and see how far we get to this today. But man, what a great psalm. What a fantastic psalm. Verse number 12 says this: many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. So that was down through verse number 21. So let me set the stage here for you. I don't know if you've ever been around cattle or not, but I have. My parents, they experimented in raising just about everything that you can raise. They've raised chickens. We had horses. We had hogs. You know, my dad had experimented with some cattle back when I was younger, and now that they've relocated to a larger piece of property, he's back to raising cattle again, and he's on up there. And I will tell you this: not every breed of cattle has the same demeanor. And, you know, when we were younger, my parents had a relative. It was my grandfather's cousin, he just recently passed away. But he was a dairy farmer, and the cows that he used were Jersey cows. They were very good milk producing cows, and he had a contract with an organization. And man, I learned a lot from visiting his facility. He would go out there and he would call those cows by name, and even if they were at the back of the pack, when he called their name, everybody parted, and it wasn't a he, it was a she. She would come right through because it was her time for milking, and so morning and night, he would milk these Jersey cows, but the bulls, you don't need many bulls, and so my dad would buy those Jersey bulls from him, and he would raise them, and rented a piece of land for a few hundred dollars a year, and put these cows on there, and we had a great big Chevy Blazer. It wasn't one of the little mini versions like we have now. Back in those days, it was a pretty good size utility vehicle. And we would go down there, and we would occasionally feed the cows, make sure they were okay, and stuff like that. And we found out that those cows, those bulls, they had a very aggressive demeanor. And even though our vehicle was much larger than what they were, they had no problem taking their head and ramming it. Now, they knew when we showed up that there was food coming. But if you happened to be a little slow, you would find out that they would let you know they weren't happy with how fast you were moving. And so if you got out of the vehicle, you had to be able to get back into the vehicle before they could get to you. They might look docile, but their demeanor could be most unpleasant. And so you didn't want to be on their bad side. Well, that's the type of mindset that David is writing about here, where bulls have surrounded him, strong bulls of Bashan. Now, from Bible school, I remember my professor telling us that the region of Bashan was known for having the best of the best cattle. These were the best strain, the best breed of the time. And so when it called women cows of Bashan, it was actually a compliment to them that they were considered the elite of the elite. But here in this context, it means that those who had gathered in opposition were formidable foes. I don't know how long it's been since you faced a formidable adversary, a formidable affliction, and you felt like you were surrounded. But let me just take you back up, because it is we've been talking about trusting in God, and David has been crying out to help, and there's not a natural source of help. But I want to remind you that when there's not a natural source, look up. Look up, because there's a supernatural source of help that is on the way. Verse number 13, they gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. In other words, when David assesses this situation, he realizes that this crowd that has gathered is not here in his best interest. They are here to do him harm. Okay. That's always a good thing to know. You know, you can't afford to be deceived about the intent of those that have gathered around you or surrounded you. And so, before David became king over all of Israel, he was kind of a nomadic king representing a few tribes, and Saul was still trying to pursue him. Well, there ended up being some people marginalized under Saul's reign, And they ended up showing up at David's door, and David goes out and says, okay, what is the purpose that you are here for? And their response was this: we are yours. We are yours. We're not here to do you harm. We are not here to betray you. We are here to serve you and help you to fulfill God's purpose in your life. I tell you, when you find people like that, that you may not even know them well, but you find that they are here to serve you, not as in some sort of royalty position for you, but they're here to facilitate your task of fulfilling God's mission. It is a glorious, glorious thing. And so sometimes that help can come from surprising places. I remember we have a couple that attends our church. We come from the same region, although we didn't know one another, never knew one another. We're very familiar with the different parts of the county and or the city that we came from. I was familiar with the church that they went to. And so they showed up one Sunday at our church. And I always have a visitor's letter that we send out, because we ask for names and addresses. We don't always get it, but we ask for it. And the reason that I ask for it is not so that I can bombard people with information, but so that, you know, I can pray for them, because the Bible talks about that God determines the times and the places where we are to live. I believe he also chooses the times and the places where we are to serve. And so I always let people know, look, we're going to be praying for you. It's our desire that, you know, God would lead you to Merit Assembly of God, because we need help. We think we have a fantastic church. We believe that we can help people grow in their faith. And we believe that people could thrive in their serving here. But we also know that not everybody that comes in the door is going to be a good fit at Merit Assembly of God. We've got a multiple Assembly of God churches in the area, and every one of them has a different personality. They have a different culture, and so there are some people who are you know, not going to be comfortable. We've had people that excuse me, attended our church in the past, and they said, you know, most of your doctrine we don't agree with, but we do agree with your position on divine healing, and so we are here because we believe that God still heals people. They didn't believe the same way that we did as far as eschatology, when the Lord's going to return or anything like that. And so they were with us for a while. So this couple that visited, I knew that they'd come from a very large church, a massive culture. I didn't know that they'd been to the mission field, and missions is very important to us at our congregation. And so I let them know. I said, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. But I really didn't have a whole lot of expectation that a couple that had served faithfully in a church of 22,000 would be able to fit in and serve where there was a congregation of 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, depending on the week, you know. And so they showed up the second week after I went to bed on Sunday night. God said, I want you to write this to them. And so I wrote a unique letter to them, and they showed up next week, and they said this: Pastor, we feel as if God has called us here to help you. I'm telling you that when you get somebody that says that, it changes the atmosphere. You realize at that point in time, he didn't send people here just so that you could huddle around and sing Kumbaya and Us Four and No More, but you realize that God's positioning people so that they can serve you, so that they can serve the body, and that they can see people one to Jesus. And so they're soul winners. They're my Sunday school teachers. I visited a person in a rehab center, and they said, boy, are they good teachers? And, you know, it's people recognize that they're there to serve and to be a blessing. So God will bring those people into your life. And so, back to verse number 14, this is where we get into a very real description of, the extent of David's suffering. And then in verses 16 through 18, we begin to see some of the messianic conditions being represented hundreds of years before Jesus ever appeared. Okay, look at what he says in verses 14 and 15. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. So I don't know if you've ever been dehydrated or not, but it is a very serious condition, especially in the summertime here in Florida. You can't afford to get dehydrated. There are conditions that I have experienced in my life. I was having a conversation with a neighbor recently, and he was telling me some exercises that might help a situation that I've been dealing with and with some soreness. And he said, you might try this. And it's like, you know, that sounds like exactly the opposite of what you would think would bring about the solution. And he said, I know it sounds backwards, but I think you'll probably find that it helps. And so, you know, I will give that a shot. I'd already done that to some extent, and it's you know, things had been improving while I was still tackling, you know, my other strategies as well. You and I, we need to realize we are a huge proportion of water. Our physiological makeup has a large percentage of fluidity. So we can't deprive ourselves. We need to ask Jesus, like he instructed the woman at the well, to ask of him, and he will give us living water. Okay? Water that will sustain us not for just a short season, but water that will sustain us even during times of opposition and adversity. He says, all my bones are out of joint. I have never had a broken bone. I've had some removed from my body, but I've never had one that was broken. I've sprained some things, and I don't really want to experience a broken bone. It seems to me like that would hurt a great deal. And he says, all my bones are out of joint. Now, I have had some joint-related issues before where I had to have somebody go in there and take care of some things that were growing where they weren't supposed to grow. One of my favorite verses when, and this was after my last repair procedure, was Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, where his word is quick, it is powerful, it is active, it is able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. It is able to penetrate to the joints and the marrow. And so I speak health over my joints. I proclaim the word of God to my joints. And so I believe that Jesus is not only greater than all the other diseases, but I believe that he's also greater than arthritis and bursitis and all of those other itises that might come along. And so I'm praying that God brings health and vitality everywhere there's a junction, there is a joining together in function for mobility, for range of motion, whatever it might be. But here, David says, I can't go anyplace. Things that are supposed to move no longer move. I had a frozen shoulder at one point in time. What a pain in the wazoo that was. I don't even know where the wazoo is, but it hurt there too. And I had a physical therapist who would, you know, over a period of weeks, worked with me on that situation to get it unfrozen, to get it to where I now have full range of motion back in that. And I've known people that the only way that they could get that was for a doctor to put them under anesthesia and forcibly manipulate, oh, just the pain of it all, forcibly manipulate that shoulder back into where that therapy could have its function there with that. All my bones are out of joint. We want to be able to be healthy. But not only had there been physical conditions, but also it said that they had lost heart. I don't want you to lose heart. Don't be troubled. Be of good cheer. In this world, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. And so don't be disheartened. You know what? That's very easy to say. It's very easy to say. So I encourage you to surround yourself with people of faith, because there may be episodes in your life where you're like David here, who was a valiant warrior. I mean, the guy faced lions and bears and giants and armies that were more powerful than he was. He faced a king that was constantly trying to kill him. And there were times where David was discouraged. And at times like that, we need people. I believe that one of the most important people in David's life was Jonathan, who walked out of Saul's camp one day that was searching for David and was unsuccessful. And Jonathan walked right into David's camp and helped strengthen David in the Lord. Later on, Jonathan wasn't there, and David found himself in that position again, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. That's what our goal is. Through our relationship, there have been times when I've been down and my wife was there to strengthen me in the Lord, and there's been times when she was down and I was there to strengthen her in the Lord. And there have been times when people at church were down and I was able to strengthen them in the Lord. And there were times when we were at church and I was down and people were there to we are in this together. So when we talk about God being an ever-present help in time of trouble, it is not just, you know, supernatural God, but it is also the body of Christ that is there. We are called to be there to help one another, even during difficult seasons. Not to beat one another up, but to help one another regain heart. He said, my strength is gone. I can't even formulate the words that need to come together. My tongue clings to my jaws. Very, very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. Let me throw in a little word of experience, because we experienced this with a person that we know here a few years ago. If you are ever in a situation where you know what you want to say, but you can't get the words out, please seek medical attention. Please seek medical attention. Don't delay. Somebody might need to hear this right now. because you're going through that situation. You know, you might say, well, this will pass and all of that. But if you know what you're wanting to say and you cannot communicate, you need to attend to that very, very quickly. Okay? My tongue clings to my jaws, and you have brought me to the dust of death. You have brought me to the dust of death. David thought that he was at the point of dying. Let me take you to the book of Acts, chapter 27. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. Acts chapter 27. This is, Paul has been arrested. He has been on trial, and now he is being shipped as a prisoner to Rome, and they don't pay attention to his advice, and so they're in the midst of a hurricane force storm that is threatening to destroy them all. It says in verse number 13, Acts 27:13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrta sands, they struck sail and so were driven. All, and because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, listen to this, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disastrous loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Listen, in one night, everybody went from hopelessness to having faith that they were going to be okay because God spoke to one person. Be encouraged today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.